Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my great pleasure to welcome today's program, Steve Barber, who's Vice President, IT Customer Solutions at Transplace. Today, we're going to talk about the role of emerging technologies in managed transportation services. Now, when I talk to shippers and ask them, you know, what they look for in a logistics or transportation management partner, technology capabilities and the data and information and insights that those technologies provide is always near the top of the list. Of course, the technology landscape today is very different than it was, you know, 5 to 10 years ago, with things like blockchain and machine learning and real-time freight visibility solutions and other emerging technologies kind of dominating the headlines. So the question becomes, you know, what impact are these emerging technologies having on managed transportation services? How are they delivering value to companies? And, you know, how will these trends continue throughout 2019 and beyond? So that's going to be the focus of today's conversation, and it's great to have Steve on the program, who's you know, in the front lines of this, and you know, to share his insights and perspective and advice on this topic. So, Steve, welcome to the program.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks, Adrian.
So, Steve, you know, over the years we've had you know, several of your Transplace colleagues on the program, but you're a first-time guest here on Talking Logistics. So, like I always like to do, you know, before we dive into the topic, I'm always curious how folks get involved in this industry to begin with. So why don't we start by briefly you telling us a little bit about your career path and how and why you got involved with this industry and what your current role and responsibilities are there at Transplace.
Sure. I actually was accidental for me. I started out as a night dispatcher working on the dock at a consolidator in Memphis, Tennessee. Did that for about a year and then switched over to the asset side, worked for a company that some folks will recognize, MS Carriers, in the mid and late 90s. Up until their acquisition by Swift, worked for them for a little bit, and then came over to the 3PL side a few years later, started working with Transplace in 2005, working as an on-site general manager on the operations team. Background is primarily in operations, did some network optimization, some other things for MS Carriers, but was still in the operations and customer service area. Managed a couple of accounts, worked with our sales support team, and about 5 years ago, transitioned to implementing and onboarding new accounts on the operations side for Transplace. And then a little over a year ago, moved over to IT and have been maintained that responsibility for implementation and onboarding, but am now also responsible at Transplace for emerging technologies and some of the product roadmap and what we're doing with our technology for our customers.
Great. No, great background. And, you know, the got into this industry by accident is one of the more common responses I get, you know, when it comes to, you know, logistics. But at the same time, it's always been, hey, you know what, I'm glad it happened because it's been such a, you know, a fun and exciting and fulfilling, you know, career. I think it's interesting you come from the operations side. So I think it's always great to have, you know, someone that's been, you know, that brings that perspective when it comes to IT, because sometimes some of the criticisms you hear is that, hey, you know, sometimes people in IT, they're too IT focused or too technology focused and normally understand the impact or the role or you know, how this will affect the day-to-day activities that you know, companies have to deal with on an operations side. So I think that's kind of unique and cool that you bring that to the table. So let's go right into the topic now. I mean, several years ago, you know, I wrote about how the worlds of, you know, technology and managed services and consulting were kind of converging, you know, particularly in transportation management. Do you see this convergence still happening and what's driving it?
Absolutely. I think that we're still in a people business. I don't think you can ever get away from the fact that, you know, companies do business with other companies because of the people that they work with. But that convergence of technology then is driving greater levels of visibility, greater levels of accountability between the organizations. If you look at what's driving it, I think over the last 18 months or so, everybody's gotten tired of hearing about the Amazon effect. But to a large degree, the expectations have risen. We had a speaker at our symposium in May that talked a lot about the blue dot culture, which I thought was a great way to put it. If you're looking at any mapping software today, I'm the blue dot in the middle, where before I used to have to find on the map where I was and then figure out what was nearby or how far something was. Today, you know, folks want things delivered to them. I have meals delivered from restaurants that I couldn't before. I have packages showing up on my doorstep every day, and I have full visibility to what's going on with that, up to the minute updates about, you know, my order being prepared and being delivered directly to my doorstep. That expectation in our personal lives is leading to the same expectation in our business life, not just around visibility, but the ability to have nearly unlimited selection, to find the lowest possible cost at any given time for any product that I want to purchase. And that applies to transportation as well.
Yeah, no, I was there at the symposium last year, and I heard that speaker, and I thought it was great. And I love that, the blue dot generation, as he talked about it. And, like I said in my opening comments, I mean, when I talk to a lot of shippers in particular, they say, we want the right mix of services, technology, and consulting to, help us address some of these challenges that we're facing today, whether it's, the Amazon effect, as you just talked about, right, which everyone seems to be talking about, which is kind of this, on the consumer side, obviously, shorter delivery times, more visibility, but that's happening on the business side as well. Right. Or it's dealing with just with the demands of, last year, 2018 was a challenging year in transportation, right? How can technology help? How can, how can some leading practices or insights that a partner might bring to the table to help us do things differently than perhaps we've done in the past, right? So that's the kind of the consulting, piece of it. And then, help us with the, resources to actually move stuff from point A to point B and right. do that in the most efficient way possible. So I think that's what I'm hearing as well. And I see that as another force driving this, this convergence. So let's talk now about, the role of these emerging technologies, particularly managed transportation services, starting with visibility, solutions. I mean, what are some of the new capabilities in this area, and how are companies starting to leverage visibility to deliver business value?
Yeah, I think it's a great question, and one that's to some degree still in need of an answer. Visibility in and of itself is maturing, is what I would say. The technology to have GPS-enabled devices attached to the freight that's moving across the country has been around now for 30-odd years. Trucking companies have it for a long time, and now getting that visibility out into a more universal platform through the use of companies that are focusing in that area is having a pretty big effect just from a standpoint of being able to see where the freight is. The new stuff that we're seeing is actually less related to figuring out where the transport, where the vehicle is, and more around what am I doing with that data. Key and critical is to visibility is, okay, so what? What's the big deal? As an operator, I look at it and say, great, so I know where it is. How far does it have to go? Is it going to be on time? What's my appointment? And even more important than taking some of the additional concepts and linking them together with that data, it's not a whole lot different than the problems you see in other industries that are turning on Internet of Things data, right? If I look at a manufacturing facility that installs a bunch of sensors all over their building, well, they can know that a machine is running at X RPM, but if they don't know what that means, it doesn't help them a whole lot. And if it's so much information that a human being can't process it, then it's just data that's being stored somewhere. Maybe I can use it for analysis eventually, but what I really need is to be able to make use of it real time. And that's where probably the next thing comes into play is the advancements that are being made in machine learning and artificial intelligence that many of the companies that are successfully receiving data about tractor locations are able to then deploy some other algorithm to do something with the data beyond just showing where the truck is.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I hear the same thing now. I think, seeing a bunch of dots on a map, there might be a coolness factor to it, but at the end of the day, it's like, okay, so what? What are we going to do with this information? Yeah. And, I think, some of these predictive capabilities in terms of, from a customer service side, being able to proactively notify customers if things are going to be late. But I think, some of the things I'm seeing now also with this visibility is to say, hey, now we know that there's actually going to be an asset or a truck 3 days from now, right? There's a Boston to Chicago load. We know in 3 days that truck is going to be in Chicago. Maybe we can book that carrier, book that truck, 3 days in advance now, yeah. And keep that truck or that carrier moving. And it's those types of insights that I think are what's driving this next level of innovation and efficiency, right?
Yeah, I think that the big challenge there is being able to incorporate the carrier and the shipper need. The carrier's still got a planned network of freight. There's some infrastructure and ecosystem changes that I think are important as I think about it, not just from a technology standpoint, but again, from that kind of operational perspective. I think that the visibility to that truck being available is really interesting. A managed transportation provider that has hundreds of customers and billions of freight under management has a fairly significant ecosystem already built around that stuff. And that's driving the next level too for the managed transportation companies that want to remain competitive. I've got to figure out how to make use of all of that data. possibly make some changes to the overall ecosystem. The way we bid freight is a significant part of that application, to be able to figure out how do I then make use of that truck when it reaches that final destination. In 2018, the big question was, how do I keep more trucks in my network, right? How do I keep trucks hauling my freight instead of somebody else's freight to keep my costs low and stay out of the spot market? That's always the big question. We finally got the technology and tools to do something about it, I think, and we're starting to see some real progress in those areas.
Great, great. Now, I think on the, going back to your symposium conference, I mean, one of the sessions that I really enjoyed was the one related to visibility was with Nestle Waters. Yeah. And we had them and one of your colleagues on the program here last year. So I invite our viewers to, go on Talking Logistics or on the Transplace, website and, Google, search for that. And you'll watch a great conversation that we had last year on that. Let's move on now to, you already kind of touched upon it a little bit. There's also, and that's machine learning. I mean, there's a lot of buzz about machine learning, today as well. I mean, is this, hype or, reality today? And ultimately, how can machine learning improve kind of transportation management?
Yeah, from a machine learning standpoint, I think that the reality is there's lots of organizations that are making very effective use of machine learning in different industries. I think the hype is around the use of it in the transportation logistics planning space. 2017 and 2018, I think that, for 20 odd years, the logistics space sat there and watched everybody else get cool technology. And we kept sending EDI messages back and forth and booking freight. But finally in 2017, 2018, we started to get some notice, and machine learning is a huge part of that. Data availability is at an all time high, which is really what everybody knows has to be there to make any type of machine learning work. Lots of data where I can learn from the decisions that are made and automatically allow the system to learn from those decisions. The transaction volume is high on a day in and day out basis. So not only do I have tons of historical data, I've got lots of transactions flowing through to test that model on. And the technology is available, whether it's in the cloud or with a developer writing it on open source or some other off-the-shelf package that somebody can use. Kind of all three are finally in one place and we're capable of making it work. The real challenge that we've got right now, I think, in the supply chain and transportation industry is finding the right use case. Everybody's got great ideas. It takes time to roll it out. And at Transplace, we're actually focused in on a couple of very specific use cases to prove its capability around machine learning. We're looking at continuous moves. We're looking at predictive analytics. For predictive service. And those two areas just in themselves have proven that the technology's there and it's something that's viable and something that's going to add value to our customers.
One of the other things that I see is, again, you need a lot of, ultimately, like you said, to make machine learning a reality or to make it work, you need a lot of data. But it's not just a lot of data. You need a lot of data that's accurate and clean and relevant, right? Yeah. And I think, we as an industry, whether it's in transportation or other aspects of supply chain management, still deal with this, bad data crappy data problem. So I think that's something that has to be done as part of whatever strategy you have is, data quality management has to be a key component of that, right?
Well, and not just crappy data, but no data, right? So the TMS adoption inside the industry is still not huge. I mean, there's still lots of folks that are out there running the same way they've always run, which is email or pad and paper or faxes in some cases, carriers and customers. And so having a single repository for all that transportation related data is critical. And that's where a transportation management system can really help. And then being able to take that data and make use of it is the other piece. The last point I'll make about data is just that we are still dealing with a very diverse population of carriers. When you look at what's available out there from a carrier perspective, even with brokers intermediating between, there's still lots of opportunity for not having check call information, not understanding exactly when loads are going to pick up or deliver, and then not having accurate reason codes or information. And so that's some of the stuff that we're working to overcome. And machine learning is actually helping some with that too. We're using it to actually both scrub and put data in place where we're missing data so we can make reasonable assumptions and then learn from the model as our data improves.
That's a great point. And that's something that we've talked about here over the past year as well is, the use of machine learning and, to help with the data quality, problem. Yeah. So I think that's a great use of that technology as well. So let's move on to another, one of these buzz terms and emerging technologies that has been probably one of the most talked about over the past couple of years, and that's been blockchain. I mean, some say that it will revolutionize all aspects of supply chain management. Others say it's a solution in search of a problem. I mean, what's your perspective? Especially as it relates to transportation management, and what are the main hurdles and opportunities with blockchain?
Sure. I don't know about you. I was not a Bitcoin or Ethereum trader prior to my life in transportation. It's not something I'm going to retire with. So blockchain was actually a fairly new concept to me 18 months ago or so as I started to learn about it. I think that the real issue with blockchain right now is about the ecosystem and standards. If I look at the model, obviously it's got a lot of opportunity in different areas. The one of that gets the most visibility and everybody talks about, right, is the coffee bean or the mango moving from a country where you've got to have visibility to each of the steps where it's changing hands multiple times. I think beyond that, if you look at the aspects in the freight audit payment world, in proof of delivery, in the ability to speed up the process of doing business the way that we do it today, there's lots of opportunity there, but there's not currently an ecosystem to support it. There's no standard. There's lots of folks that want to be the standard and lots of folks are trying to create it. But again, we're dealing with kind of many to many. You've got a lot of shippers, you got a lot of carriers, and I think what it's really going to take is a couple of strong use cases and the platform to be built so that folks are going to be able to do it. One really interesting kind of development there is I think that Walmart is looking at using blockchain technology to support their produce supply chain. And so the driver for that, from a real life circumstance is the lettuce E. coli scare that was out there a few years ago or this year, several times this year. I've thrown away lots of bags of Caesar salad over the last couple of months. The issue though is that they're kind of throwing the baby out with the bathwater in those cases. They're getting rid of all of the possibly affected lettuce instead of really understanding who is the producer, what field did it come from, when was it shipped, when was it grown and harvested, what points in the supply chain did it touch, so that perhaps you could get to a place where instead of all that waste, if blockchain had been in place for those, Walmart's thought process is we might have been able to save a whole bunch of money. By not throwing out everything, being able to really target what needed to be pulled off shelves to keep consumers safe while at the same time taking care of the ecosystem. So, I think that we'll see. I think we're still a couple of years off from there being a level of standardization that allows for it to have wide adoption. But I think there's definitely some use cases that people are interested in.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think the standards piece, is important. And that's something that is still a work in progress. And I think that needs to be in place, even though, if history repeats itself, we've seen what's happened with quote unquote EDI standards and all the like. You start with a standard and then everybody, changes fields and nomenclature and everything else. And you end up with the Tower of Babel, anyway. So I have a feeling that's going to happen with whatever blockchain standards, develop that, Walmart will tweak it in one way, Target will tweak it in another way, and so on and so forth. I think, and you're right, I think things like food traceability and safety, that's a solid business case there. I think in the logistics realm, I think I see a lot of opportunities in the global trade management. Yeah. Right? Where you've got, a lot of documents, you've got the financial transactions, right, and so forth. So I think that plays a big role there. As a way to kind of start summarizing some of the things we've talked about here, I mean, when it comes to technology, especially for a logistics service provider, the question has traditionally been, do we build those capabilities in-house or, do we partner with, technology companies? I mean, how do you go about answering that question? And, what are the pros and cons of each approach and, any lessons learned so far?
Yeah, that's a great question. As a third-party technology company, it's a great question to answer. I think that there's two pieces there. One is, what's it going to take to get to where you want to be? If it's a significant infrastructure change, or if you've got to make significant investment in hardware or software developers, it's definitely worth at least looking at the business case. From a lessons learned standpoint, I think on our side, we actually evaluated what it would take to build a capability in-house. And that capability's got to include, when you start talking about some of these things, data scientists, it's got to include the data engineers. In typical software development, at least in current times, finding a developer to write code, there's lots of folks that have been training on the current standards that are out there that you can hire either away from somebody else or out of school. maybe you outsource bits and pieces of it. Data scientists are in huge demand right now, and they're very difficult to find and lay hands on. So when you're looking at that, you know, what's my current infrastructure? What have I got in-house that I can leverage? And is it really the right skill set? Am I going to be able to take advantage of all the new stuff that's out there? Because it's changing rapidly. There's lots of stuff that's happening that it's difficult to even keep up with. I think the other piece is understanding exactly what the end use case is going to be. Very tempting, I think, to boil the ocean with a first project, right? To come up with something that's going to solve world hunger. Kind of what you talked about with blockchain. I mean, that the press that you see about the changes blockchain is going to have on the world. I mean, literally, I think I saw one about solving world hunger for blockchain. And so if you decide on a simple project, that may be an opportunity to dip your toe in the water, find a third party that can help develop that simple use case, and then maybe look at, hey, that was really successful. Do I want to do that again with them? Do I want to find an alternative partner? Or do I want to try to work on it myself? I'd say the last thing to consider is it going to require a module, you know, something significant? If I look at, the SAP as an ERP or Oracle or any of the others that are out there, if I look at a TMS or a WMS, if it actually requires a platform change, it's entirely possible that a third-party software company is going to be able to give you a better solution than going out and trying to install it yourself. At Transplace, one of the things we focused on over the last several years, particularly with implementation and onboarding, you've done a ton of series on how to successfully implement, which means there must be lots of ways to unsuccessfully implement as well. Looking at the change management aspects of what you're doing, some of this stuff's scary. Looking at machine learning or AI, people start thinking about Skynet. They start thinking about robots taking over the world or taking jobs away. And you've got to be able to manage that perception versus reality. And the fact of the matter is, most AI, machine learning, blockchain technology, whatever these things you're looking at, they actually just allow people to focus more on what they'd rather be doing than doing the tasks that can be automated. And there's lots of tasks out there that today companies are still performing with fingers on keyboards or people on the phone. And I'd rather have my people, particularly in a growth environment, focused on finding that next truck, focused on finding the carrier that's going to be able to perform better than the one that I've got now, or focused on really satisfying my customer through excellent customer service. I don't know if that helps or answers the questions, but I mean, that's some of the process that we went through when we were evaluating too.
No, I think you brought some great points, and particularly around the people side of things, right? So sometimes a lot of the technology, it's the reality that, hey, do we have the right engineers, coders, et cetera, to develop this? But it's not only at the upfront; it's also to maintain and continue to innovate because, as you said, these things are this is a rapidly changing environment. So you have to make that decision whether you're going to invest not only in the short term but in the long term, because you're going to continue to have to innovate and whatever technology that you decide to develop in house. And I think right on. Whenever we talk about technology, you can't get around the fact that it is a change management hurdle that you have to get over. There's a lot of fear and uncertainty, and people always think that the changing the status quo is always difficult. And hey, before I learned this piece of technology, I could have probably done it my way 10 times over. Right. And then I think the lesson learned is always that, once they actually use the new technology and implement the new process, et cetera, if you were to tell them, hey, you know what, we're going to go back to the old way we used to do things, they'll probably rip your head off and say, no way.
It's been successful. That's the case.
That's right. That's right. So Steve, as a way to wrap up then, going back to my opening question and comment about convergence, I mean, how do you see, this convergence of technology and transportation management services kind of continuing in 2019 and beyond? And what are the implications for shippers and carriers?
Yeah, I think the 2018 was really fascinating from a transportation logistics standpoint in the technology space. We've seen funding of companies that you hadn't heard of before doing things that you'd never heard of before. You've got companies from outside of industry trying to enter the industry and do things different and new. Whether it's Uber or Convoy or even the manufacturers trying to figure out things like platooning and autonomous trucks. I saw your article this morning on Daimler and platooning. So I think that in 2019, what you'll see is some maturing. You'll probably see folks that leave the marketplace that couldn't figure out how to get the business case to work. And you'll see others that begin to mature and focus in on the fundamentals of what they're trying to really deploy. There's a lot of folks that are taking a shotgun approach a little bit and trying to figure out what's going to stick. I think we'll see things actually start to stick. Some of the load matching boards and some of the, you know, you mentioned like the capacity matching algorithms and some of the things that are, that companies are trying to do that probably haven't reached a level of maturity because they don't have good density yet. Companies that have density are going to be partnering with them, and those folks will start to build density. And so I expect 2019 to be more of a maturing of stuff that's come in 2017 and 2018, as opposed to a ton of new stuff that's going to be rolling out, with the exception probably of the blockchain space and some of the machine learning stuff that's happening right now. I think 2018 was really the infancy and for those two, and that 2019 will start to see some really, probably some cool programs and applications that come as a result of some of the work that's been done at the end of 2018, rolling into 2019. It's going to continue. It's going to continue to grow and become more robust. And the more data that's available, you know, you have to look at history as a teacher there. I mean, if you look at what Google's been able to achieve in machine learning and in their space for understanding data, they did it because they made the decision a long time ago, I want all the data. I'm going to get everything I can. I'm going to work to understand it after I've got it all. That data maturity model is happening today. And as more and more data comes, I think we'll all be surprised by what really manifests as technology that sticks. In the meantime, we've still got to block and tackle, right? Operations teams have still got to book trucks. Supply chain managers have still got to ship freight. And customers have still got to be able to buy stuff. And so we're going to stay focused on the fundamentals and make sure that the technology supports that.
Yeah, no, that last point is a great one, because I mean, I think, you know, we like to talk about all these emerging technologies and maybe, you know, future what if states, right? But the reality is that you can't, you got to keep the business running. You got to keep the operations running. So, you know, it's how do you weave some of these new things, you know, without, wrecking, you know, your current operations, right? How do you introduce them in a way that keeps things running, smoothly and efficiently? I mean, that's part of the whole change management, you know, process that we talked about. Well, Steve, we could probably spend the whole day or two, you know, we could put a whole conference together based on this topic. I think we hit a lot of high points, and you provide some great insights and advice on this topic. So thank you for making the time to be with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
Great. I want to thank those of you that joined us. If you're watching this episode on demand, either at the Transplace website or on Talking Logistics, and you've got a question or a comment for Steve, you can post it there, and I'm sure he'll be more than happy to respond via that medium. Again, thank you for joining us, and look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.